Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Tuesday, February 14th. It's Valentine's Day, actually. And we are celebrating the Festival of Love. And what we are celebrating is a group of activists, advocates, love and appreciation for Africa, right? And they have so much love and appreciation for Africa. They've been heralding the cry for reparations. Right? And I have a play that I want the producer to play. And this is a good time to play that first one so we can start the discussion. I also have one or two people on Zoom that I want to engage with. And I also have a guest in-house. So we're going to do all of that and have this discussion on the premise or on the background of the CARICOM meeting that is happening in the Bahamas tomorrow. So let me play that first note and then we'll move on to the conversation.
This is about justice. In 2013, the Caribbean Reparations Committee was formed out of the need to unify as a Caribbean people to advocate for reparations against our former enslavers and colonizers for the United Nations designated crimes against humanity in the form of the transatlantic chattel slavery and the genocide of the original people of this land. This group was formed, one of the initial impetus was to help galvanize with Haiti as they were trying to get reparations from France, or at least stop paying their reparations from fighting their independence and gaining their independence way back on 1804 from France. And so this committee was formed regionally, and there are member states. The Bahamas National Reparations Committee is the local organization advocating for reparations in the Bahamas. We try to inform the public about what reparations is and the 10-point plan that CARICOM has set up to advocate for reparations.
Yes, that's Dr. Naomi Cowell Campbell-Dean, who's the chair of the Caribbean Reparations Committee. And in-house, we have Rastafari, who have been leading a charge for reparations for African people, and particularly their people, right? Even in terms of the return to Africa concept. And they wanted to have a voice because they suggesting, lobbying for reparations to be a part of the agenda for this 44th annual meeting of the Caribbean committee here. And my line seems to be breaking up. Hopefully everyone can hear me because I'm sound like I'm going in and out. But this is why they're here today, because they wanted to voice their reasoning for why reparations should be demanding. And I have Ras, prophet or priest again? Forgive me.
Prophet.
Prophet, I'll let you start the conversation, then I'll have everyone join in via Zoom so I can confirm who all is on Zoom. But go ahead.
Okay. Well, first of all, I'd like to say blessed love to one and all. You know, to this day, you know, reparation to us is not just... I'll start it off with this. First, we must know ourselves. And we have to know who we are. And if we know who we are, we would understand what reparation is and reparatory justice. Reparation is something we must teach our people about, because a lot of people have the wrong concept about reparations. Reparations comes in internal and external justice. So reparation doesn't just mean money, because if you're broken, you could give a man as much money as he want, you can't fix him. It's all about us being internally as well as externally justified and fixed. So reparation comes in many different forms, you know, because we need to be healed in this whole reparation, because we are damaged. Yes,
and explain damage, because I want to know who damaged you, and you need to be healed, and what type of healing do you need?
The thing is, we all are damaged. We all went through slavery. You know, I have a book here, and that's what we talk about. Our people have suffered so much injustice that we start to feel like these things are normal to us. You know, and for me, reparations, we talk about CARICOM. CARICOM looks at outside the reparations to England, France, and America, because America owes reparation also. They have slaves. They, you know, from South Carolina, go right back. We always had slaves and coming between. So America owes us reparation also. But we must look at inside, where in the Caribbean, they owe us reparation too, because as our slave masters turn us over into to our own people hold us down in certain ways even worse. So we are, as a people, we are traumatized, and we have to know that slavery didn't just change and everything became good. So we have to be damaged in some way. We need, and this is the conversation where, when we think that we're normal, because this is our normalcy, but yet we see all the different breakdowns what's happening within our community, and we wonder why, even within our DNA. It's proven that the people out of our diaspora cannot take salt. They have a salt medication for when you have high blood pressure. Whites, you wonder why white people it works for, and they find that it works 98% for the white people. It works something like 60% for us in the diaspora when we take the medication. But when they test it to the Africans at home, it's the same 98%. Why? It's our diet. It's the food that we used to, what we're given. All of these things are things we need to be prepared for. We need to have psychiatrists, psychological people to help us out. See, and that's the worst thing about a broken set of people, when you don't know you're broken.
Mm-hmm.
Because you've been living this way so long.
So let me engage the people who are on Zoom, and forgive me that I cannot see you, but I'd hopefully be able to transition properly to make sure everyone have a chance to speak, right? I spoke to Prophet Jamiki, right? Jamiki Bo. He mentioned that reparation doesn't necessarily have to be monetary. It could be systems put in place to correct ills that has been traumatizing African people or people inside the diaspora. And I know that Rastafari is lobbying for, at least a local chapter here, is trying to lobby for reparations to be a part of the program. And of course it's not. On the program for this CARICOM meeting will be the single market economy. And I'm sure a number of behemoths will have some commentary on the single market economy concept, right? It's also going to be agriculture and food security, climate change. And we know that our prime minister has been touting climate change. So I'm sure that this is going to be heavy on the agenda for the CARICOM. And of course, in the last show, Aaron mentioned something about the crisis in Haiti also could be a part of the agenda, right? But on the line, go ahead. Basically speak on what you think about reparations and why Rastafari has been chanting that and lobbying that.
Oh, bless the love, Honorable. And this the Honorable Priest Rickman McKinney from the Ethiopia Africa Black International Congress. We have a camp down in Bulbi, our headquarters in We have a camp in Pine Tree Road, our headquarters in 10 Mile Bulbi. We give thanks for this moment, give thanks again, and blessed to all our listeners in this glorious, blessed Tuesday morning. It's a joy to be in this conversation concerning reparation and, you know, repatriations on hip of reparation. And as you know, you can recall over the years, the Rastaman was agitating for freedom, redemption, and international repatriation, compensation, and reparation for the atrocities has been done to our people in general, not only the Rastafari family, but the Rastafari was the advocate. And the one guy was preaching consciousness to our people, and that reparation is a must. So we give thanks that about, I'd say, close 10 years now, the Caribbean countries adopt the resolution concerning reparation. We started in St. Vincent and the Grenadines by the Prime Minister, Gonzalez. He bring it to the floor. And the Bahamas, not this previous government, other previous PLP government take up the mountain and decide to form a reparation committee along with the rest of the Caribbean. It had some problem and it for 2-3 years and it really died off. It's something coming back up again. But we know for sure that reparation in North America and South America, Central America, to the Caribbean now is really rising and our people getting more conscious. So we give thanks for that as Rastafarian, because when we were talking about reparation for a long time and back to Africa, it seems like a wayward argument. We speak to the Senate in 1994 concerning reparation and how we must gain reparation, because you know, the black people since independent and majority rule is still only but I'd say 4%, if 4% own the wealth within this country, and even in America's. Although we have some billionaires in America, some black people, but in reality, we don't own the wealth. And for us to really have some kind of say, we must ask for reparation for the injustice that has been done against us. So I give thanks for this conversation. And I just leave the floor for everyone to take up too much time.
I understand that, Priest. And I think you have Tafari also on the Zoom.
Yes, blessed love my Lord.
Go ahead.
Honorable Priest Tafari of the EABIC. I am also a representative of the indigenous peoples of the Bahamas. Now, what we are talking about when it comes to reparation is that the whole world talks about the Holocaust that happened in Germany, and the whole world knows about the Holocaust what happened in Japan when those nuclear bombs were dropped only one time in history by the United States, who claimed to be the ones who are always fighting against nuclear use. Well, the African Holocaust, what took place for the African people being stolen from Africa and brought here, and also the indigenous people of the Americas being enslaved in their own land, of who we are blood descendants of. Because they tell us that we were all brought from Africa, but we know that all of us were not brought from Africa. Some of us were already here, but we have the bloodline of our motherland, Africa, in us, and we have the bloodline of the indigenous American in us. We were brutalized for over 500 years up to this very day by the papal bulls that were not rescinded. The papal bulls that were sent to by Rome to come and invade these lands and kill the people and dominate them, and who does not subject themselves unto you must be murdered, killed, and enslaved. You understand? And there was never a reparation for this, meaning that the people were never put through a mental healing, a physical healing, a financial healing. For 530 odd years, our people were held in captivity in these lands. Now, they claim in 1834 that they gave some sort of reparation, but they gave it to the slave masters. They gave it to the people who held us here in the Bahamas. The Bahamas slave masters got over $300 billion for keeping the slaves in the Bahamas, but yet the slaves receive nothing. So these things have to be brought to the forefront, and these are all in the Bahamas history book. But they said if you want to hide something from black people, you hide it in the book, because people are being entertained today. People are entertained, but they're not into history. And the Rastaman is a living, walking history man. The Rastaman has bear the burden, and we have been calling for over 50 years for the report, for the reparative justice, and even repatriation back to our homeland for our African brothers who want to go home, and those who want to remain here in our indigenous lands. Because remember now, the Bahamas only formed in 1973. When the Spanish came here, the Spanish conquistadors and Inquisitionists came here, they met a kingdom of people here. Even Columbus said the people he met here were the most beloved people. He said they were God people. In Latin, the word is indios, main people of God.
Okay, priest,
those are the ones he met here.
I want to challenge you.
Pardon me?
I want to challenge you in one thing, you and the other person on Zoom. But I want to play this voice note first, and then I'm going to challenge you by a text that came in. The text says that the crown, the British crown, already give you all reparations, or give us reparations, by via crown land. And the government has it in trust. What else do you want? But before you respond
Pardon
to
me,
that, no. Before you respond to that,
no such thing as crown.
Before you respond to that, I need to play the voice note. I know you're eager to respond, but let me play the voice note first. Go.
Okay.
The Minister of Foreign Affairs has outlined the main agenda for this CARICOM Heads of Government meeting as climate justice. And we know from Eric Williams' book, Capitalism and Slavery, that one of the main reasons that we are experiencing the environmental degradation that we are, that is threatening the very existence of the Bahamas, is from the industrialization of our economy. And this industrialization, on the birth of this capitalism model, really came from the transatlantic chattel slavery. And so reparatory justice and climate justice are intertwined in very essential and important ways. And so we hope that reparatory justice can also make it to the agenda of this CARICOM Heads of Government meeting that's coming up this week.
Reparatory justice, right? It's similar to what Prophet Jamiki was saying, that it needs to be a repairing of African people who went through that trauma. And before I play the voice note, I want more persons on the Zoom, because I think it's three of you on the Zoom. So I want to make sure I include everyone in the Zoom to communicate. Before I went, I played the voice note. I mentioned that there are persons who would say that you're already being, reparations are already being paid out, that the crown has put in trust to the government of the Bahamas properties that the Bahamian people can access to use. In fact, if you go to Andrus and Exuma, the whole rural plantation was given land or access to land, you know, to have generation property for sitting on. What else do you Africans want? But let me speak to Jamiki, then we'll go back to the persons on Zoom to make sure they all get a chance to speak. Go ahead, Jamiki.
The person who said that crown land is what we get. It shows that they really doesn't understand this whole system that we live in. And that's the whole point of it, is to keep us blind and ignorant to the facts of things. How could the crown give away something that doesn't belong to them? First of all, as Priest Afrai started off to say, this is the indigenous people land. Do you see any bill of sale for the Bahamas that the British bought this and this is now theirs to give this or bequeath this to somebody else? This isn't their land. If you look at how the whole of the crown land situation is set up, the thing is that for us, we say we want, and a part of our 7-point plan for reparatory justice is a land, but we want land, but we don't want crown land. We want our land. Let's get this right.
You want to go send back to Africa then?
No, we want the land. We want land here.
But didn't government give Rasta land to have a whole settlement? Where priest risk money on no land?
But you know all we had to do to get that.
That's my point. You get the land already.
Hold on. That was not given, and money was also fine for that. We wasn't given no justice in that. That was no justice, because if you can tell me for the injustice that I get, I can get 300 by 400 square land for all of us this year. Come on, man. That's a joke. The thing is, there's so much of us who really need justice and crown. Let's stop saying crown land.
What you want to call it?
That's our land.
Okay.
That's our land. The crown steal that. You see, they're saying that's native people land. The crown don't own nothing. When they say the British Empire don't set, sun don't set,
That's a lie, because everything they take, they thief from us, and we asking for them to give it back. Okay. Not to still own ownership and put the name Crown Land on top of that. I see them fighting for this land, our land, and it's a shame the Wood Bohemians have to do to get a piece of this land. Because even if we call it, if we try to go under the system they say about Crown Land, why all this land still here? Why millions of acres still here? And we still asking for some.
Okay, let's go back to Zoom to engage those who are there. And I think I spoke to two. How many persons there haven't engaged? So I can come back to the studio. Tafara, are you there, Priest Rithman?
Yes, let the Empress go through.
Go ahead.
Greetings in the name of His Imperial Majesty and for Haile Selassie I and the Royal Highness, Empress Menenai. I hear you bringing over what you think about reparations. But when you haven't went through the struggle that we as Rastafarians have gone through, your story and feeling is completely different. You cannot identify with what it is that we're going through. And the way how you're answering it seems as if though you're representing the government on this, not really just trying to find out how we feel, but you come already with your program set to represent them.
How you feel, Empress?
How I feel?
Yeah, man. I want to know how you feel.
There are injustices that have been done and continue to be done, okay, on us as Rasta people, or I and I as Rasta people, okay? We're still fighting for our rights. The land you speak about is nothing comparing to what should have been given to I and I as a people. We've been fighting from, I don't know, 19 how long, for reparations and repatriations. No one was adhering to the call until now, because there's profit in what they see. And every time there's something profitable, everybody want to jump on the bandwagon for the profit. The government first, us as a people here in the Bahamas, they have to sort us out as a people for reparatory injustice that was done to I and I. These are not the persons who are abroad that did these injustices. It's the Bahamas government that did these injustices to I and I.
Okay, Empress. Well, I have a caller who wants to engage you on the line. So let me do that first. And I understand that Rastafari has it has persons who are part of the Caribbean Reparations Committee local chapter. And I'm not sure if any of you are on that local chapter here who speak to on reparations. And I know they had a symposium recently, and I want to talk about that and challenge you to see if any of you attended that. But let me go to the caller first, and then we also got another Rastafarian here right now, too. I want to engage, too, who just came into the studio. But go ahead, the caller.
Good day. How you doing, Eric?
I'm always good, man. Blessings to you.
Wonderful, wonderful. And good day to the Natural Empress on the show and to the priest, the rest of the priest staff. Who there?
My Lord. Good love.
But with this reparations thing, I was always confused. I always studied it, and listening today, I'm still confused, because the priest and empress is saying the land is ours. We should have it. But if I take a step further back, right? Normally, if you would say it belongs to somebody and it was stolen away, then it would have belonged to the Lucicari, the Arawaks that were met here by Christopher Columbus. And then you can go step back further and ask, who in the world did they buy it from, if they bought it? Because more than likely, they came on their longboats from wherever they came from, and they settled here as well. Now, if fast forward to me, you, and Empress and the priest them, we would have came from either the United States with our slave masters, the slavery was legal then, or we would have come from the boat that took us away from, I think it was the French or somebody that had captured us. The English then took us from them and dropped most of us off here in Nassau or the Bahamas. So I am kind of confused as to really, really, who really owns the land. That's the first thing we need to find out. And reparations, I only owe some reparation if I deprive them of something or I stop their business store or something from making money. I guess that's the reason why the reparations was paid to the slave owners, the slave masters, because they had to shut their businesses down. And if you look at the slaves, I can let you answer right now. We the slaves were really their possessions, if I could say that. So I'll hang up and listen to how you deal with that.
First of all, we are all indigenous people. And it doesn't just start from us as a people. It starts from our ancestors. Okay? It doesn't just start from us. It came through our bloodline from our ancestors who these people enslaved. Okay? So we're not just talking about us as a people. We're talking about from our ancestral line come up. Okay?
Okay, priest. Hello? I hear you. And I have another priest that's here. And I want him to introduce himself because I want everyone to get a chance. Question to you, priest, right? On the text line, I'm how engaging white Bohemian, right? Who's texting and saying that some of the white Bohemians here also have African blood in them because of what all happened during slavery. He also mentioning that they also fought to end slavery. And it seems like as if you're trying to punish them or have them pay again, right? When they are on, or history has proven that they have sided on the African side to say that slavery is wrong. Why punish them again with this reparation talk? Go ahead. Yeah.
We cannot undo what is done. We cannot undo what is done, whether or not they were a part of it. You got to come from where it all began. You understand what I'm saying? We cannot do that. The things that was done to our foreparents, our foremothers and forefathers, they were raped and castrated and everything by these people.
One moment for me, because and I appreciate it. I want to analyze it, but one moment for me. Go ahead.
Blessed day to you, Mr. Nuri. Blessed day, boss.
Give blessed thanks. Day.
My name is Honorable Priest Ethelbert Harrison, also known as Priest Diamond. I'm a member of the Ethiopia Africa Black International Congress, True Church of Divine Salvation, Jerusalem Schoolroom. We the people, we stand above all organizations, governments, and kingdoms of the earth. We stand governmental, parliamental, churchical, statical, and sabbatical. With our worthy leader, worthy founder, worthy God and King, King Emmanuel VII, Adonai God, Jah, Rastafari. Blessed love again. Yeah, to your question, Mr. Nuri. When I, as a bigger man to you, would have stole a bicycle from you, and then I give it to my son, does that make it fair?
No.
Okay. Well, it's almost the same thing would happen with us. When it comes to us being indigenous people, we've been here long before the white man or the European would have ventured into this side of the world. So that makes us the original parts, the original people live on this side of the world, to this Western Hemisphere. We was living in the heaven our ancestors before was here. Just like in Africa, it was nice and free before the invasion of the Europeans. And when that came is when all the toxic and the corruption and everything, the destruction we see, the same pattern they just leave all over the planet. So when you say now that these inheritors, are they benefiting from any of their parents' profits, what they would have made from doing the slave trade? See, so with them showing their proof is what? Was the father a Caucasian? Did the father leave them any land and other things that they willing to share with the other black people then, African people here, who would deprive? I would bet you 9 out of 10 those same Caucasians or what we would call conky Joes or half white, half black, whatever we want to label them, I don't want to be derogatory in no way, no disrespectful way. But as long as we could label them to say, well, okay, did they benefit or not? Are they...
No, go finish, priest.
Yeah. Did they benefit or not? Are these the ones, are they willing to stand up today and continue to fight? Because we don't see them on the front line so much. Oh, they're advocating for any other injustice. They don't feel like they was deprived of nothing. So when we say it was their ancestors who done it, they were the ones who stole the bike. Their parents and grandfather parents were the ones who stole the bicycle in the first place and didn't return it. We've never been apologized to.
Mm-hmm.
When we look at all the injustice, what's going on right here in the Bahamas alone, we didn't even come out of the Bahamas. We could see there's no fair grounds to this day from the time of slavery. When they give us emancipation, the 1% increase what we would have had from then to now is still less than 1% of the wealth what black people would have inherited. So we could see there's no pattern of injustice for us, no time. And this continues on today. When it comes to Rastafari being abused, again, that's a whole nother topic because that is something that's going on from the conception of Rastafari in the Bahamas and still continue today. I don't know if the Prime Minister at the time in Jamaica, the dialogue with Pinlin at the time, but they was killing out Rastafari and ain't much changed today, my Lord. We still getting abused. You could come into Rastafari house on assumption that he have something in there as marijuana and you still come out wrong. But what traumatization went on with the children? We have children just like other people. We have homes and families and doing our part in society just like everybody else. But when it comes to us being injustice, ones will stand aside and laugh. Just lately now, where Rasta coming up in other homes from persons who used to fight Rastafari, they find themselves there now with their children becoming following the faith. And they realizing and seeing their child ain't no problem, but their child going through distribution as well.
I have some more callers who want to engage you. Patrick, call it there through, please. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Morning, Mr. Nuri.
Good morning.
Yeah, hey, Jaman, Whitman, Farai, Whitman, this is me from Long Gam. Don't call me name. Listen, Farai is correct. I'm agreeing with everything he's saying. And he seems very well read as far as the European colonizers. He mentioned, you remember a while back, Mr. Newhead had called and asked you about terra nullius,
mm-hmm.
which means Latin, land belonging to no one.
Yep.
This was subsequent to the papal bull that he called papal bull, all right? And so this is the power that the Pope yielded at the time. So when you look at the atrocities from, just say, France, Belgium, Britain, Portugal, and Spain, right? I was doing some reading on Patrice Lumumba, and so it was said that the 10 to 11 million Congolese people were killed at the hands of the Belgian colonizers, right? And then, here locally, my local black heroes would be Somalia, Butler, surrounded folks, but in chronology, as far as black world leaders, I would start from Marcus, right? And then I would go to Malcolm, and then it would be Lumumba, and then Martin. All right, and so I know why I said that, because most of us, most people who disagree with reparations, I agree with the miscegenation concept of the white person, but the thing is, Rasta said that they're still enjoying the financial benefits. So what we don't realize about slavery is the banks, the insurance companies, everybody was mingled into this. And so when you look at after Lincoln passed the laws and gave land to blacks, a lot of blacks had to run and leave their land. And so as far as making us, even as far as disorientating the black man, not knowing his ancestry, giving us their names, changing their names. We're not even looking at the repercussions of these things. Much less to talk about the amount of blacks that were incapacitated as a result of being in the field for years. So as slavery ended, you have some blacks who are 50, 60, 70 years old. And so what could they do? They had to find a way to take care of these people. So then they came up with all of these eugenical concepts to degrade the black man post-slavery and created this paradigm in which you see in here today. This is why the third world sub-region is not unified. This is why Africa is not unified, because it benefits the ruling classes. So, in other words, in short, most of us are not well-read enough to understand that post-slavery, the European colonizers find inconspicuous ways of still oppressing us.
Still slaves.
So we can talk about representation, but I have one or two more callers there. Patch the next caller for me, please. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, good day.
Good day.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm always good, man. Blessings to you.
All right, man. Blessings to the royalties that you have in studio and on the line with you today. Luby George is here, man. Quick. I have a few young persons from the African diaspora who are sitting in my office and listening in, too. So on behalf of them, we may have missed portions of your show. We wanted to ask a question as to try to see if there is any differences that the Rastafarians are advocating for as it pertains to Rastafari and black people, as we talk about this entire thing of reparations. Are the Rastafarians looking for something separate and apart from the blacks? Also, that's a question. I wanted to make a quick comment as it pertains to something that about three callers ago, someone made mention of it being legal during the time of slavery for the colonial, for the colonialists to own black people. Well, you know, I have a serious issue with that because, you know, it's part of their political and colonialistic construct at the time, but no man or woman can ever own another individual. Just as in today's, I do not subscribe, and many don't subscribe and accept the notion that human beings, a person, can be illegal. All right, you may have, you know, your status may be undocumented, you may be stateless as it pertains to the political and legal constructs of any particular country, but however, to say that an individual is illegal, I think there is something fundamentally wrong with that, and also something fundamentally wrong with the mindset that at any point of time in history that another human being could have owned somebody else. So that is my comment, but my question again, are the Rastafari community looking for something separate and apart and something personal to them as it relates to reparations that is separate from the entire black movement itself?
No,
thank you.
No, but I'll answer that. I'll say no. The Rastafari was ever fighting for the benefit of all of us as black people in general. Due to that, the Rastaman went through a serious ordeal, you know, really oppressed, because colonialism and imperialism never want our black people to know the truth. So, but the Rastaman was always in the forefront as the vanguard for liberation, freedom, repatriation, restoring justice. And we speak on the Marcus Garvey literatures on His Majesty being a people come from a kingdom, a royal priesthood, a royal people. That's why we say, blessed love my Lord, honorable empress, honorable prince and princess. As you know, you said you talk about Samara Butler and Samara Butler and Sir Brandon Fox. Then if you study the meanings of a sir, you see that from the Order of St. Michael and something else, where they have a white angel have his foot on the black man neck. So when you become a sir, you swear loyalty until you die to be loyal to the British Empire. That's why you see the last two prime ministers never take up the sir. The prime minister, though they swear to be loyal to all heirs successors, they're going that deep, bending on their two knees and swear to be loyal to her until they die. And you see, the former Governor General, Sir Hanna, he never take it up either. So we have to understand that black supremacy and riches of salvation, they say when we talk black, they say we supremacists, but white supremacy was going on in the world for years. So we come to force our lifestyle on no one, but we want true justice, we want reparation, we want repatriation, we want to be able to see our God through our own spectacles and be not religious but spiritual, and to be spiritual is to know the truth, and not to believe but to know. So when the Lord talk about heroes, like we have to remember, slavery was legal but it wasn't right. In the first place in the Western Hemisphere, abolished slavery was Haiti, and when we, so we don't learn about the teaching of our true ancestors, our true heroes, like Toussaint Louverture, who were true the French and the British and the Americans in Haiti. And that's why we talk about reparation, because Haiti needs serious reparation now, because the condition Haiti in and Vietnam are saying, okay, they need these foreigners, they need to go back, these illegals. So we have to have a more deep understanding of what really take place within the black world and what take place with us as a people. Because when you say independence and majority rule, to me, majority get fooled. Because since 1884, we supposed a proclamation for us to return back to Africa. And I think they set up a colonial government for us to swear to be loyal to the British Empire and become their servants. And we're still under that now. We're just talking about how we shall try transition to a republic. But it's almost the same thing. So we're a kingdom citizens. a miles more start pushing the kingdom citizen, but that's who we are. See, we come from kingdom. We come from the politicians. So when we talking about repatriation, I went to Africa a few years ago, and I feel almost lost when I see the oneness and be both my brother, but I can't
really speak
the
language. And priest, we're going to continue that same statement. We're going to have a short break, but I want to read this too before we go on a break. We have to be honest that the experience has created a socio-economic disparity that we cannot ignore and still has impact, like the fragrance that lingers. And that person is just saying that because of disparity, we got to rectify it. There needs to be reparation. But we're going to a short break, and we'll continue this conversation on the next side.
You need about 2 hours for this, my
love. Yes, blessings.
So much going on in the world today, only accepting cash at your business can be risky. Let Fidelity offer you and your customers safety, convenience, and the flexibility of a fixed or mobile terminal. Take it with you, on the move and on the go. Because stop. For more details, speak to one of our business development officers at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit our website at fidelitygroup.com or visit us at any of our branches.
The Water and Sewage Corporation advises customers in New Providence and Village Road and surrounding areas that due to ongoing pipeline tie-ins into the water main, their water supply will be interrupted from Saturday, February 11th, 2023 to Thursday, February 16th, 2023 between the hours of 10 p.m. to 3 a.m. the following morning. The corporation apologizes for any inconvenience caused as they work to improve their level of service.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Unless we think that reparations is just some pie in the sky dream, we know what is happening in the Dutch, where the Prime Minister of the Netherlands has apologized for slavery. We see the Anglican Church in England has made apologies for slavery. And so we are making connections on the ground now to speak with our representatives here to discuss the issues of reparations in the church. We also see that families like those in some families in Grenada who were former enslavers, apologizing and traveling back to Grenada to say, how can we make this work? So reparations is not just a dream. Reparations is something that is happening. According to our chair, Sir Hilary Beckles, it is the preeminent issue, preeminent social justice issue of the 21st century. And so we are working towards that, knowing that it's a matter of time.
Phone lines, and then we go to in studio, then go back to Zoom. Go ahead with the phone lines. Go ahead, caller.
Yes, good. Blessed afternoon. Give thanks for life and the mighty life giver. Give thanks to the honorable brethren, honorable priest and prophet in the place there, sharing the good news of Rastafari.
Honorable
reparations Rastafari must come, not just the Rastafari, but the whole body of Black people. Reparations must not only come. Sorry, my name is Charlotte Breton. I'm recognized right now. My name is Priest Rado, just tuning in. But reparations, I just wanted to share that reparations must not only come in the form of money. It could come in many different forms as well. It could come in the forms of access to land, ease of the oppressive laws in place. There are many different ways. Somebody Mr. Nuri, I heard you read something about somebody saying something about the socioeconomic disparity.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure a lot of Bahamians try to disconnect themselves from Africa, but you can't disconnect the fruit from the you can't separate the apple from the apple tree. So when we talk about the socioeconomic disparity, we as a race of people are already hindered in trying to succeed, succeeding in this year today's world. In 1834, when slavery was abolished, Queen Victoria put down 20 million pounds sterling silver. See, to pay out the slave owners. That debt was finally completed by Great Britain in 2015. So it goes to show you the amount of money that was equated to back then in comparison to now. But we look at the world today, we see everybody getting their justice. We see the sharks getting justice. We see the alphabetical community get their justice. Everybody getting their justice. But we've yet to see that. We see the Jews get their justice. But we've yet to see the black man receive his true justice. So we give thanks for the efforts of the panel. We give thanks for the efforts of the committee, the various committees established, the House of Rastafari, the ABIC, CRO, because we must receive what is rightfully ours. We're not begging anybody for anything. We just want our justice. We just want what is ours rightfully. Ja.
Rastafari. Let's go quickly to the next caller, Chitola.
Good morning, Mr. Nuri.
Good morning. Go ahead.
Hello.
Okay, make it quick.
Yeah, Mr. Nuri, I've been listening to Shemmy. In fact, I tried to contact you with Rasta Bro. How are you guys, males and females in the studio, doing today?
A lot of people calling. Just make it quick.
Yeah, I just want to know. Do you know, Mr. Nuri, that right here in the Bahamas, and I'll ask you, Rasta Brothers, that we have a member of the royal family of Ethiopia living right here in the Bahamas?
Yep.
Yes. Do you know that we have the granddaughter of the Emperor Haile Selassie
in Freeport,
living right here in the Bahama Islands?
Yep, in Freeport, yep. Minnick, it's a France.
Right in Freeport?
Yep.
Do you know that Volanza Selassie, granddaughter of Haile Selassie, it resides right in New Providence?
Yeah, but
from
we
back in the
70s?
Yeah.
That left the family, most of the family had to leave Ethiopia during the overthrow and go to the United States. Most of them went over there to universities. After universities, yeah, they went to different...
And Sparky, I don't want to interrupt you, but I know today is about reparations. So I want any comment you have about reparations. Do the Rastafarians, just tell them no, and so they can respond to that.
Rastafarians? Just about all of us that descended from Africa deserve reparations.
All of us.
All of us.
Yes.
Give thanks.
I appreciate that, Sparky. But let's go ahead, John Miko.
Okay, going back to the previous caller who asked about if the Rastafarians want something different, and I want you to...
Y'all seem to be special. Y'all want something special.
No. Y'all have to understand this. We look at the reparations committee, what the government have set up, and we are, because we are Africans and we all are part of that, we need to have that reparation. But yes, the Rastas need something separate from the government, because our government, since the 70s, from the 60s to now, they have within their self hold us back. And that's what we look for, reparatory justice between that. We look for certain things as we look for land ownership. We look for, like the Honorable Priest said, we look for our cannabis legislation for I&I, because we've been holding on our sacrament and certain things, you know, education of the Rastafarian community. So, and this is something that, yes, the Rastas look for something else, because we have been persecuted from the 60s to now. So we need justice from our government for what they have done to us versus what the British government has done to all of us as slaves. So it's funny that the government could see where the British and everybody has wronged the community of blacks around, but they don't see where they, as the government, has wronged us as rustlers and hold us down with their draconian laws. Like the priest said, they kick our doors open. So we need
a
set of justice.
Kill a few of us.
You know, they kill some of I and I them and imprison us. You know what it is to cut a rasta man locks just for a cannabis? And at the time, from you be arrested, you could get your locks cut. Just arrest, not even charge, just arrested. They'd cut your locks. All of these injustices we've suffered as a people. So shouldn't us as a set of people be made whole for the injustice that we faced? Not just because we get a double whammy. Because we black, we get hold on. And then because we're rusted, we have our own people who being getting hold down with us now decide to hold us even deeper down.
alluding to what Honorable Mickey just was saying, also, my lord, the injustice continue in regard to the fact that every day you could see justices being paid to victims of the Catholic Church or other nations and whatnot. And it's our government would actually in charge of the police force and everything, what we could say was knowing of the injustice with Rastafari was going through. So it ain't like we looking out the country within in those regards. So it's still all the same reparations within the same justice of reparations for the whole diaspora. We have Rastafari what don't have locks, what was in association with us would go through the same atrocity. And yet the government to this day ain't give us a simple apology. We could see it happening right in the Caribbean and throughout the diaspora, but us who do just as much damage as what went on in Jamaica, we still suffer the same fate.
So basically you're calling for reparation home and abroad. We have one more caller to do with everyone from on the Zoom, but let me patch this caller through, then we go strictly to the Zoom and let everyone have a chance to speak on that. So we can do that. Yeah. Go ahead, caller. Caller, can you hear me? Going once, no? Okay, we have 4 minutes, people on Zoom, so everyone have 2 minutes to conclude. Go ahead.
Okay, bless the love. That's all I would appreciate for it again. Well, I was, and the artist said back in the day, Tony McKay, pay me what you owe me. So even in the songs, I'm talking about we need to be paid. We need to get our self together. And reparation is one of the main component to make that happen. We must agitate for reparation. We must be able to teach it to our children. We must be able to teach it in the schools. It must be a conversation that continue. I give thanks for this day that it's a start on the radio, and I hope that the commission will have more activities concerning reparation and bring the educational component to it, engage. And so because this ain't a fight for us, Rasta alone. The commission just started the other day, but Rasta was fighting for this over 4 years, talking about reparation and past, which is not just for Rasta, for Black people, the consciousness of ourselves.
Okay, let's hear from the Empress now.
Bless the love.
My Lord.
Go ahead, Empress. She gone? So we go to Tafari.
Bless the love, my Lord. First, it sounds Bahamas family, African family. I would just like to say, the African diaspora and indigenous diaspora are the only people who have been oppressed for the last 500 years financially, mentally, physically, and emotionally. We are the only ones, and what we have to tell them is all of us did not come from Africa on ships. We are indigenous Seminole and Taino people. Columbus say he meet the Taino people here, he meet us here, we are Seminoles. They tell you about the railroad with Harriet Tubman running up north, but they never tell you about the Saltwater Railroad. When all the Muskogee and the Gullah people was coming here, but he didn't speak Gullah language. We native to these lands. These was our lands. You understand? So they owe us for our lands. We didn't just come from Africa to own nothing here. No, we have rights here too. We are the only ones who are oppressed amongst all the nations in the world. So right now we need our financial recompense. We need our mental, physical, emotional recompense. Our cannabis recompense. Yes, Rasta was ostracized in many different ways, like from our own family members. We know that amongst our own. So we only fighting for truth and rights and justice for all, you know, and for ourselves as well. In the name of the Most High, Selassie, I just Rastafari.
Is the Empress still online? So let her conclude. Go ahead, Empress. She's not connecting well. Her phone to connect. So as we conclude, I see we have 1 minute and I wanted her to speak before we go. But as we conclude, I'm now understanding that your reparations is not necessarily monetary. Right? It's about repairing what was taken and what made you broken in a sense, right? And it doesn't necessarily have to do with getting physical money, but in terms of...
That's a part of it, too.
Of course, it's a part of it. Money is the answer to all things, right? But yeah. you want to enact some laws in order to to repay you for the abuse that Rastafari has been
on.
Anyway, tomorrow will be the Caribbean CARICOM meeting here, the 45th anniversary of that. And I'm not sure if Rastafari is going to be out lobbying, reminding them that you need reparation, that they need to put it on the agenda. But We'll see how it goes. We send
a letter to the government concerning all our rights, concerning black people in general, and that goes to the whole heads of government, show
By now, I got to go to the news. Howard Grant is next, and thanks very much for joining me. I appreciate this conversation.